Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. President Salva Kiir instructs his generals to focus on implementing the revitalized peace deal.
We are fought enough and we have not gained anything. So let us really forget about all these wars. I urge all of us to rally behind the parties signatory to the agreement.
And Pope Francis appoints a new bishop for Malakal Diocese.
When there is a shepherd, when there is a father in a house, it attracts all the children who are outside. And I'm sure his presence in Malakal will make all the people of Malakal who are in diaspora or outside or within the POC to come out.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir instructed his generals to avoid taking the country back to war. Speaking today at the opening of a new building of the Department of Defense, Mr. Kiir told senior officers to focus on implementing the revitalized peace deal. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Donning his trademark Stetson cowboy hat, President Kiir pinned ribbons and medals on the lapels of dozens of South Sudan generals at the inauguration of the new defense ministry building at Bilfom military headquarters outside Juba. The president says it is time to forget about war and restore peace across the country.
Everybody should come back to his or her senses to implement the peace agreement. This is what will benefit us. We are fought enough and we have not gained anything. So let us really forget about all these wars. I urge all of us to rally behind the parties signatory to the agreement for the speedy implementation of the agreement.
Kiir says any attempt to push the country back into war must be discouraged.
We wasted our resources on pursuing unattainable wars when indeed we should be using such resources to build our country. And all this time we have been wasting our resources, including the human resource, on fighting a senseless war. Let us stop it, and then we concentrate on the development of our country so that we move forward.
Kiir says now that the parties agreed to extend the pre-transitional period by 6 months to finish security arrangements and other pre-transitional activities, South Sudanese must work together to restore peace and put the country on the path of development.
I want to assure you that I will always remain committed to the peace agreement, and so that people will go back to their previous lives where, you know, there was unity among them, there was love among them.
The South Sudan Defense Forces today officially marked the 36th anniversary of the founding of the SPLA, which the Kiir administration renamed the South Sudan People's Defense Force, or SSPDF. The day was marked on other parts of the country on its traditional anniversary, May 16th. General Kwol Manyang Juk, the Minister of Defense and Veterans Affairs, says the new Defense Ministry building will facilitate needed reforms in the military.
It heralds the end of one journey and signals the start of another struggle. The march towards transformation of our army and state building.
Manyang says the new building means the SSPDF can plot a future that includes building barracks, hospitals, colleges and military industries in all army divisions across the country. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Sudan's public prosecutors have called for the dismissal of the director of the National Intelligence and Security Service after national security officers prevented the police from arresting former intelligence chief Salah Abdallah, also known as Salah Ghosh. The case has raised questions about whether certain people are above the law in Sudan. Naba Mohyadin has this report for VOA from Khartoum.
The failure to arrest former intelligence chief Salah Ghosh has caused alarm among protesters and analysts. Ghosh was the head of the National Intelligence and Security Service until he resigned in April, days after longtime President Omar al-Bashir was ousted by the military. The prosecutor's office said Ghosh was to be questioned over an account containing more than over $1 million, 46 million Sudanese pounds, which was only accessible to him. But his guards blocked his arrest Tuesday, saying they didn't receive an arrest warrant in advance. Political analyst Al-Fatih Mahmoud. Mahmoud said arresting Ghosh is important for protesters, as he was responsible for repressing demonstrators, and he has all of the Bashir regime's corruption files. Former President Bashir is already facing charges of incitement and involvement in the killing of protesters. The Sudanese protest erupted in December over bread prices, but quickly morphed into calls for Bashir to step down after 30 years in power. Dozens were killed during a failed government crackdown, and more have died in the recent weeks in clashes with security forces. Protesters continue to hold a sit-in outside military headquarters in Khartoum. One of the demonstrators, Muhammad Umar, expressed his frustration about the failed attempt to arrest Ghosh. In my opinion, when the rank is higher, that means there is the power of taking decision, the orders of shooting or making any violations, he says. It's difficult to determine the soldier who fired, but it's obvious to say which agency issued the orders. It's a top priority to arrest Ghosh, to sustain the prestige of law. Meanwhile, the lead protest group, the Sudan Professionals Association, continues to negotiate with army leaders over who will control a proposed joint civilian and military transitional government. The SPA has called for a million-person march on Thursday and threatened a nationwide strike if the military doesn't yield power. Naba Muhiddin for VOA News, Khartoum.
Lawmakers in the East African Legislative Assembly have passed a resolution to ban the manufacture and importation of skin bleaching products. South Sudanese lawmaker Gideon Gatpan, who authored the resolution, says bleaching can lead to skin cancer. Onen Walter Solomon has more for VOA from Juba.
Speaking by phone from Nairobi, Gatpan says the resolution is intended to not only promote the beauty of natural black skin, but to protect people from the dangerous side effects of using products and soaps that contain hydroquinone.
Like here in the East African region, we have seen both men and women who are using cosmetic products that contain hydroquinone. This is a threat to the natural skin.
Gatpan says he is confident a ban on the sale of skin bleaching products with the ingredient hydroquinone will become law in South Sudan because Juba has acceded to the East African Treaty, which provides for a customs union and a custom management act.
What's required at this stage, according to Article 65 of the treaty, the clerk of the House of the East African Legislative Assembly will be able to disseminate the motion that has been passed about the ban to all the partner states. When it reaches the partner states, on our case for South Sudan, the Minister for Trade and East African Affairs now will be given this motion officially.
Gatpan says he fully expects the Council of Ministers in the East African Community to provide guidance on how the ban will be enforced. He says the ministers can do this by amending Article 18 of the Customs Management Act of 2004, which prohibits the manufacture and importation of specified goods restricted in accordance with any conditions regulating their importation. Dr. Lier Nyok is a dermatologist working in Juba Teaching Hospital. Nyok says the main bleaching agents, corticosteroids and hydroquinone, were initially used as medicine for treating certain skin conditions.
This bleaching agent destroy cells called melanocytes, which produce the melanin. So the body become unable to produce the melanin, the pigment which is responsible for the normal color of the skin. So when this pigment is lost, the skin become lighter. So when this protective function is lost, it will be easy for the ultraviolet rays to penetrate easily into the skin. And this may lead to skin cancers. It may lead to skin atrophy.
25-year-old Juba resident Mary Yaro, a long-time user of skin bleaching products, says she will continue to maintain her lighter skin using the beauty products with skin bleaching agents, even if the ban goes into effect in South Sudan.
This beauty product to us as women bring us beauty. It keeps your skin beautiful and adds to the value of your skin. If the government has decided to ban on those things, still they won't, because they are such businessmen that depend on that businesses. So if the customers will still be supporting them to buy the product, they will still be smuggling them to the country.
Another 25-year-old Juba resident, Akol Deng, says she supports the ban on skin lightening products. She says she used the products for 1 year before she decided to stop.
I use different soaps and also the lotions. I mix the Super Baby Face, Caramola Soap, Cocoa Pearl. Yeah, then when I came to my realization that it changes my skin, then I stopped using it. It took me three months to regain back normal skin color.
Kenya and Tanzania have already banned the use of skin bleaching products, but smugglers still find ways to get the products into the countries to meet demand. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
As you just heard, the East African lawmakers have passed a motion banning skin bleaching products, but people across the continent still use skin lightening products, as we hear from Moses Havyarimana in Kigali.
At a beauty parlor in Arusha, a 52-year-old Rose Msele is having a facial treatment. She's been using skin bleaching products since she was a teenager. Women like me want to be beautiful, says Msele. And in the process of looking for beauty, or for our skin color to shine, she says, we use things that we shouldn't. At a nearby market, a 32-year-old clothing vendor, Janet Jonisefo, arranges a pile of scarves as the sun shines on her pale brown skin. For years, she was using skin lightening products that contain hydroquinone, a medical agent used to treat dark spots. But Jonisefo stopped the so-called bleaching after she says her skin became fragile. She says that she used beauty products containing hydroquinone and that it badly affected her skin as she started developing patches on her face. Jonisefo says she went to the doctor and was advised to stop using products containing hydroquinone and instead use aloe vera. Skin lightening products often use high concentration of hydroquinone, which can cause skin problems or mixed with other bleaching chemicals become toxic. Ghana, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Nigeria, Rwanda, and South Africa ban or regulate the agent in cosmetic, while Tanzania bans imports. The East African Legislative Assembly last week passed a resolution on a regional-wide ban of hydroquinone's manufacture and importation. Susan Nakawuki is a member of the Regional Assembly from Uganda.
Hydroquinone is not only used by women, but also men. We've seen men bleaching seriously, even more than women. But it's becoming a problem. If we don't regulate it, it's going to become very problematic.
When used medically, hydroquinone can be an effective treatment for skin discoloration. Some East African lawmakers spoke out against a blanket ban. Aden Abdikadir is a lawmaker from Kenya.
A blanket throwing of a ban on an item which we are generally acknowledging that it is now a content of most cosmetics is going to cause serious trade disruption.
If signed by the heads of state, the ban becomes a law in all East African community states, which include Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. Critics point out ban on hydroquinone have failed to stop smuggled products from being sold openly. At shops in Arusha, cosmetics labeled as having hydroquinone are on display. If bans are not backed by enforcement, they will have little effect on the use of the high-demand skin lightening products, despite the risk to health. Moses Havyarimana for VOA News, Arusha, Tanzania.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Malakal has a new bishop. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes you proud of yourself?
Because I'm healthy and certainly alive. Very many people have not been able to make it to my age, because at this age of mine, I'm making 37 in October 21st. Therefore, I'm proud of that.
Managing life, trying to handle challenges and issues, and also helping other people out.
Now I'm proud because I'm at campus, I'm doing procurement and logistics management. I think that's what makes me proud. At my age, being at university, doing such a course, I'm 19 years old.
I feel proud of myself when I'm considered and respected by others. In other words, it is because of my dignity.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Pope Francis has appointed Reverend Father Stephen Nyodo Ador Mojuak as the new bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Malakal. The Catholic Archdiocese of Juba says the appointment will encourage people who fled Malakal during the conflict to return home. Winnie Chirino has the details for VOA from Juba.
My dear faithful and people of God in Juba, the Vatican Nunciature in Juba has informed the Catholic Church in South Sudan yesterday that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has appointed Reverend Stephen Nyodo Ador Mojuak of Malakal Diocese as the Bishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Malakal.
Father Samuel Abe, Secretary General of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, announces the appointment of the new bishop to the faithful this afternoon at Catholic-owned Bakito Radio in Juba. Abe thanked Pope Francis for appointing the new bishop of Malakal, saying it is a sign of social and spiritual growth in South Sudan. He says the Diocese of Malakal has not had a bishop for the past 10 years since the late Bishop Vincent Monjol Nyiker retired due to poor health and old age in March 2009. Abe says since then, Roho Taban, an apostolic administrator, has been running the Malakal Archdiocese. An apostolic administrator is restricted from performing services like ordaining priests and consecrating oils for sacraments. Abe says the Catholic Diocese of Malakal has been inviting bishops from other dioceses to perform such functions for the past decade. He says the appointment of the new bishop in Malakal is a sign of hope.
When there is a shepherd, when there is a father in a house, it attracts all the children who are outside. And I'm sure his presence in Malakal will make all the people of Malakal who are in diaspora or outside or within the POC to come out. Currently, as we speak, there is a massive work taking place in Malakal, rehabilitation of structures, especially the cathedral.
Maria Kunijok, a congregant at St. Teresa Parish in Malakal and an attendee of the ongoing Upper Nile Regional Conference in Juba, says she is excited to hear that Malakal has a new bishop. Konijok says many Catholics in the area who were displaced by the conflict missed having spiritual guidance from the church.
We've been waiting for a long time for the parish to get a bishop, because when our bishop Benson Mojo retired, and then we didn't have a bishop, we have somebody to be there. It's a Roho Taban, and then the Rome didn't decide. But today we are really very delighted when they announced it.
Joseph Abanaba, one of the chiefs from Fashoda in Upper Nile, hailed the Catholic Church for appointing a new bishop for Malakal. He says he hopes the new bishop will visit all the states in the greater Upper Nile region to preach the gospel and give hope to return.
We wish him good health, and he will could continue with his work peacefully. Because we have a lot of things now. Malakal was not the Malakal of before. But it needs somebody to encourage people, not Malakal alone, from Jungle, Bor, Bentiu. These are all his places. He's the new bishop of Upper Nile, the great Upper Nile. Then he will visit all these places as the new bishop.
Barnaba Isaac Aban, another Catholic faithful from Jesus King Parish in Malakal Diocese, praised Pope Francis for appointing the new bishop. But he says most schools, hospitals and churches built by the Catholic Church were destroyed during the conflict. Aban is urging the new bishop to develop this institution so people will come home.
Go back to his place and then they can renew
out the bolt the school of the churches. This is destroyed since this 2013. Because we know in Malakal, there are many schools. One of them is called Santalwanga. Santalwanga is not work now today. And also, we get in Malakal, the hospital operating with sister, but Nenam is not working.
Father Bess says Reverend Father Stephen Nyodo Adeor Mojok will be consecrated in 3 months. In January, Pope Francis appointed Reverend Father Stephen Ameyu Martin Mula as the new bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Torit. Abbey says the bishops of the Wau and Rumbek Diocese have yet to be appointed. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Still on the Catholic Church, Pope Francis has appointed 2 auxiliary bishops to St. Diego, Chile. They are the first bishops who have been appointed to the South American nation since the entire bishops' conference offered its resignation due to what the pontiff described as a culture of cover-up when it comes to clerical abuse. Sabina Castelfranco has more for VOA from Rome.
The newly appointed auxiliary bishops are Carlos Irarra Saval, Errázuriz, and Alberto Lorenzelli Rossi, both of whom served as priests in the Chilean capital. The latter is an Italian Argentine who arrived in Chile 5 years ago and is not part of the long-standing divisions existing among the clergy in Santiago. The appointments came 1 year after an emergency summit took place at the Vatican to discuss the clerical sexual abuse scandal engulfing the Catholic Church in Chile. In May of last year, in the wake of the scandal, and in an unprecedented move by an entire national bishops' conference, all 34 bishops in Chile offered to resign. The bishops made the announcement after having attended the crisis meeting with Pope Francis about the cover-up of clerical sexual abuse in their country. They had signed a document en masse in which they put their fate in the hands of the Pope.
Queremos pedir perdón por el dolor causado a las víctimas.
At the time, the bishops also apologized for the pain caused to the victims of abuse, to the Pope, to the people of God, and to Chile for their serious mistakes and omissions. In a strongly worded document on the scandal, Francis said the entire Chilean church hierarchy was collectively responsible for grave defects in handling cases and the resulting loss of credibility that the Catholic Church had suffered in the country. This past March, the Pope accepted the resignation of 77-year-old Cardinal Ricardo Izzati Andreio, Archbishop of Santiago, who had been accused of covering up for crimes of abusive priests. The Pope appointed Bishop Celestino Aos Braco of Copiapó as Apostolic Administrator of Santiago. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
From Rome, we move to Malawi, where early results from Malawi's Electoral Commission show that the current president, Peter Mutharika, has about 40% of the vote. The head of the opposition Malawian Congress Party, Lazarus Chakwera, has about 30%. But reporter Lamek Masina says areas where the opposition Malawi Congress Party has strong support have not yet reported their results. VOA's Mario Rita asks Masina in Blantyre how many areas have ballots that remain to be counted by the Malawian Electoral Commission.
The Malawi Electoral Commission has said about 2,500 areas remain uncounted in areas which are believed to be stronghold of the opposition Malawi Congress Party. While areas which are remain uncounted, which are believed to be strong a base of the ruling DPP party, are 200. So in that context, in that scenario, it means the opposition Malawi Congress Party is still having an upper hand, because most of the areas which has remained uncounted belong to them.
Will any of the sides get a majority, do you think?
But it's still unpredictable which side should get the majority. It's believed and it is seen by many that maybe the opposition NCP can get the majority, considering the number of votes which remain uncounted in areas which it has a stronghold.
Have any foreign observers given statements yet? Have there been any assessments of the fairness of the vote?
Yes, in the morning, three, if not four, foreign observers missions gave their preliminary statements about the conduct of the elections from the campaigning up to this vote counting. But what is common among them all is they start saying that the electoral process has been free and peaceful. But they say they can't say it was fair because the votes are still being counted. So the word fair has been withheld. They say they will talk about the fairness after the counting of the votes and after the release of the results.
What should we expect now, and when will official results be released?
Okay, what the Electoral Commission has said is that the results will take place within 8 days after the voting. In this case, the voting started on 21st, so the results are expected on 29th.
That was VOA's Mario Rita speaking with reporter Lamek Masina from Blantyre. That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Ayan Tamohaba by Sultan Clinton.
Ayan Tamohaba. Bini ada jamil, namun nasa tu pada waka-waka besado. Ini yang mangga, malaikat.
Excuse me, lady, what's your name, baby? Miss Acholi, Sinta Kimono. Bebe, Abuta Kimono. Mote Manangai.
Ni ada kutu mele matai fok jadi ana maro za tanabe ka bamu na holo sun gisit dai ni ga magi
stena tabani eta mazaher ana geni stena fisikale tabe ka ta kulu yomo ana pega bu onu so para ana tala mojuno taka ni magi set go wana salu minyo kasa kani tadero so manesia salu kalo na sasa ye 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 ana timomoti Logadai, ehe anati momoti ile
Zahir, ete dusu kisim taki wen. Ana geni fedi sumu mataki abuta ikudu nas magiru dorara. Ana mega bamu zahir. Kire zahir lana kisim taki ne. Kisim taki zatu biga nezi na.
Asi kisim taki nezi kulu kalam taki. Ana biga kudu ale mumu na kolala wapi. Yoma na geni seli ashana kaleluya.
Baba Mari.
Kalmerisa kula nasibu ashana kaleluya. Kani dama bisede luana asalu kikoga Mulebe spenyu liana one time ehe motema Nenyu periho karo kikeda nyaga ehe
Haleluya
I beg me papa me mama waiting to see you my lover Anyaka show me your face only one time ehe motema Ana maderu zoli tani ili intaya waifi giliwe Amenu zotani Ana maderu zotani
We have been listening to Sultan Clinton with that song, Ayan Tamohaba. Remember, these are not my words. John Tanza is in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Hey, hey,